Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Megillah Daf Tes Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur 11 lines from the top of Daf Tes Vov. If you prefer, you'll find this on the fifth of the wider lines. On the side of the Gemara, you'll notice we have a Nosei Mivneh heading with triangles 1-3, 1 through 3. And what these represent, this is a numbering system, Deos Shonos, different opinions, Bezihui Malachi Hanovi. One of the latter prophets was named Malachi, and we're going to be investigating who he was. Number one, we'll see he is associated with the personage of Mordechai. In other words, that the opinion, Rav Nachman's opinion in the Gemara, he and Mordechai were really one and the same. A second opinion, after Rav Nachman's approach is refuted, a second approach is that Malachi is the same as Ezra. And the third approach is simply that is he was not someone else, he was Malachi. The Gemara, Omar of Nachman, Malachi ze Mordechai, Voloma nikro shmoi Mordechai. If Malachi is in effect Mordechai, so why is he referred to by the name Malachi? Shehoya mishne lemelech. He was important. Now, the word Mishneh LeMelech in and of itself would mean he was second to the king, and the Malach is something that's someone that's very important, like an angel. The Marsha says he was very important, like an angel. The Gemara asks a question from a source, Meisvei Baruch ben Neria, Usroya ben Machasya, Vidoniel, Umordechai Bilshon, Chagai Zechariah Malachi. Kulon Nisabu Nisnabu Bishnas Shtayim Ladaryovish. We have a list of names. They were prophets, and the source says they all said prophecy in the second year of Daryovish. Daryovish being one of the Persian monarchs. Well, in this source you can see we've dashed underlined Mordechai and Malachi. They're two separate individuals. Tiufta, this would refute Rav Nachman's point. Tanya, Omar Rav Yeshua ben Korcha, Malachi ze Ezra, v'chachomim omrim, Malachi shmoi. Two more opinions. The Rav Yeshua ben Korcha saying that Malachi is one and the same as Ezra, and the Chachomim holding that Malachi is a separate individual. Omar Rav Nachman. Now, there's another girsa, and maybe it's easier for us. It would be Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, because we already saw Rav Nachman in this list of presentations, where Rav Nachman himself held that Malachi was Mordechai. So it's likely that this is someone else. This is Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok says, Mistabra, and do note that this is a long point. Rav Nachman says that Mistabra kemado mar Malachi ze Ezra. It's most likely like the approach of Rav Yeshua ben Korcha. Dichtiv benevius Malachi, it says, regarding or in the context of the prophecy of Malachi, Bogda Yehuda v'Soyeva Nesa b'Yisrael v'Shalem ki chilel Yehuda kedosh Hashem asher ohev uvoal bas el nechor. This pasuk describes a prophecy where the Jewish people have behaved immorally and have had intimacy with heathen women. Uman Afrish Noshim Nochrios, who is well known for having worked in this realm of separating the Jewish people from Gentile women, Ezra, Dichtiv, Vayan Shechani ben Yechiel Mibnei Elam, Vayomer Le Ezra, Anachnu Mo'alnu Belekenu, Vanoshev Noshim Nochrios. So you see that Ezra was the one who was addressed regarding this issue of foreign or of Gentile women as having intermingled, married, or bonded with the Jews. Tonu Rabbanan, Arba Noshim Yefefios Hoyu Ba'olam. There were four extraordinarily beautiful women in the world: Sora, Rochav, Vavigail, the Esther. Those are four names. Ulamandu Omar Esther Yerakrukis Hoysa. According to the opinion that we saw back on Daf Yud Gimel, that Esther was actually green in complexion, in other words, or sallow in complexion, indicating that she was not objectively beautiful. So Mapik Esther Umayo Vashti. He would take out of this list Esther and put in Vashti. Tonu Rabbanon, Rochav Bishma Zinsa. Now that means that someone who would mention her name, that would arouse a desire to engage in relations with, engage in, we'll call, intimate relations. So by the mere mention of the name Rochav, that would arouse somebody. Yoel Bekola. By hearing her voice, one would be aroused. Avigail b'zechirasa, just by remembering her. And Michal Bashol b'ri'iyasa, the daughter of King Shaul, by one's simply seeing her, that would cause one to be aroused. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, kol ha'oimer Rochav, Rochav miyad nikri. Rabbi Yitzchak says, anyone who simply pronounces the name Rochav, that would cause him to experience an emission. Omar le Rav Nachman ano amina Rochav Rochav velo yichbas li. I can say that, I say the name and it doesn't do anything to me. Omar le Rav Yitzchak responded, ki ko amina, when I said what I did, be yoda uvimakira, that someone who knows her and recognizes her. Now you can see by way of markings that the Gemara now returns to the explanation of Psukim in the Megillah. The double underline is a series marking, and we've indicated at the beginning of each one of these the source of the Pasuk. This is Megillas Esther, Perek Dalid, Pasuk Aleph. U'Mordechai Yoda es kol asher na'asa. And it goes on to say in the Pasuk, Vayizak ze'aka gedoyla umora. And Mordechai became aware of the plan to destroy, of Haman's plan to eradicate the Jewish people, and he cried out a great and bitter cry. My Omar. What does he say in his cry? Omar Rav. Rav says, Omar, he would say thusly, Gova liboy shel homon me achashverosh. Rashi says, Gova homon me achashverosh, shemolo libo ledaber mashelo olo alev achashverosh. That homon has gone further than achashverosh, in that he would say that which even achashverosh wouldn't say. Ushmul amar, govar. Now, Malko ilo mi Malko tato. This is a euphemism. So the translation is that the heavenly king has gotten better or has risen above the earthly king. But he means that in the opposite sense. And that indicates how dire the situation is that the plan of Haman seems to be overpowering even heaven. Vatischalchel Hamalka. This pasuk was stated when Esther was informed that Mordechai has appeared at the gates of the palace in sackcloth. So the pasuk itself says that she was. Now, the word Vatischalchel, on a very simple, let's say, translation level, Rashi says, Nismasmeis Chalal Gufa, that she melted inside. In other words, she was overcome with dread. My Vatischalchel, what does that mean? Omar Rav Shepirsa Nida. She became a menstruant woman. Rabbi Yirmiyah Omar, shehutzrecha l'nekoveha, she needed to relieve herself. These two are bodily reactions when one hears something of a dreadful nature and they get shaken up. So these are results. Vatikra Esther lahasach, and Esther summoned hasach. There are opinions as to who that is referred to. Amar Rav, hasach ze Doniel. Hasach is a reference to the famous personality Doniel. He was a very high official in the government of Nebuchadnezzar. V'loma nikra shmo hasach. Why is he called hasach? Of course, it goes without saying that he was also a very righteous man, a prominent man. In fact, we see that he has divine communication with the Almighty. But why is he called hasach? So, one opinion is the he and the ches, and the ches in Hebrew interchange. So instead of hasach, you can read it as chotach, the ches being the beginning of the name. Shechotchuhu migduloso. He was cut down. He was lowered in rank. Under previous monarchs, he had been very high. Had a very high office. Under Ahasuerus, he was reduced to a more minor position. Ushmul Omar Shakol, he says quite the opposite. He says Shekol Divrei Malchus Nechtochin Al Piv, that all royal decisions are finalized through him. Nechtochin, you can see where the chotach is to cut something. It's to make a decision. So all royal matters are decided through him. Vodas Mazeh Ve'al Mazeh. Omar Rabbi Yitzchok Sholcha Lo, she sent the following inquiry: Shema Ovru Yisrael Al Chamisha Chomshei Torah. The Esther had discovered Mordechai in sackcloth and wanted to know what was going on. From the pasuk, it appears that after she discovered about the actual edict. After all, Mordechai was out in public screaming, bemoaning what has happened, and Esther's informed of this. She wants to know what's behind it. Why did it happen? So, as the pasuk says, Lo das mazeh ve'al mazeh, Omar Rabbi Yitzchok sholcholo, she sent an inquiry, Shema Ovru Yisrael al Chamisha Chomshei Torah. Maybe the Jews have violated all of the Torah. Dichtiv Bohan, regarding the Torah, it says Mizeh Umizeh Heim Ksuvim. Technically speaking, that's with regard to the Ten Commandments, but you see the expression Mizeh Umizeh, just like in the Pasuk, it says Al Ma Ma Zeh V'Al Ma Zeh. So it's a reference to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, to the Torah itself. Maybe the Jews have violated it. Vayagidu leMordechai es divrei Esther. This is Pasuk Yud Beis, and by way of background, Mordechai sent through the Hasoch, through Doniel, a message to Esther that she should go into the king and appeal on behalf of the Jews, and she said that she is not able to go into the king because of the danger that lurks for someone who enters the king's chamber without having been summoned beforehand. And she wants this information communicated to Mordechai, and she asks Hasoch to tell him that she can't do it. And the Pasuk says, Vayagidu leMordechai es divrei Esther. And Esther's reaction that she can't, that it's a dangerous mission to go in to appeal on behalf of the Jews, something that's too dangerous for her to do. That information is what Esther requested the Hasoch to deliver to Mordechai. But the language of the Pasuk of Vayagidu leMordechai indicates that it was told to Mordechai, but not that the Hasoch himself, that Doniel himself, had told it over, had fulfilled his mission. V'ilu ihu lo oza legabe. In other words, Daniel himself didn't go to Mordechai with this, desperate or very depressing report that Esther was sending to Mordechai, that basically that I can't help, that I it's too dangerous. Mikan, from here we see she'ein mishivin al hakalkola, that if there is some type of, we'll say, depressing or negative kalkola, something of ruination, a message of ruination, that one should not communicate such things. Rashi says, al hakalkola shoisa Esther mu'nas lovo el hamelech, that Esther was incapable of going into the king's chambers. Lefikoch lo heishiv hasoch es shlichusa. Therefore, hasoch didn't communicate that. Ve'Esther shochot dvora al yidei achirim. Esther chose others through whom to send that message. He didn't want to be the communicator of despairing information. That's ein meshivin ala kalkola. Lech knois es kol hayehudim v'chulei ad asher lo kados. The psukim say uvechein avoy el hamelech asher lo kados v'chasher ovadeti ovadeti. Those are the words that one would insert, as we have done between the lines, and we analyze. Omar Rebbe Abba shelo kados kol yom v'yomotshi was saying that she will go into the king in an unusual way, asher lo kados, and whatever loss there is, shall it be. Now, what is she saying? So, Rabbi Abba says she's going to enter once Esther is prevailed upon to go through with the mission. She says, "I'm going to go in shelo kados kol yom v'yom." In a fashion unusual, not like every other time. Shebechol yom v'yom ba'oines. That means that when she had entered Achashverus's chambers and he had conducted intimacy with her, so it was against her will. She was summoned against her will, and whatever happened, it happened against her will. It's called oines. And in halacha, Esther, who was a married woman, if a married woman, other than a woman married to a Kohen, but other married women, if they are raped, intimacy is conducted with them against their will, so they are permitted to go back and continue living with their husbands. In this case, Mordechai. The Achshav Baratzon. But now, since she is initiating the entrance to Achashverosh, that would be tantamount to a willing yielding to him, and then that would result in not being able to continue to be with her husband, namely Mordechai. V'chasher ovadeti ovadeti, k'shem shovadeti mibeis abo, just like I was lost from my father's house. We have seen in the past that she did not have parents. Kach oved mimcha, so too I will be lost from you. I will be forbidden to you. Just like we explained a moment ago, that in Eishes Yisrael, a woman, a Jewish woman married to her husband, if she is, if she willingly participates in intimacy with someone else, she is forbidden to her husband. Vayavor Mordechai. This is from Perek Dalet Posuk Yud Zayin. Omar Rav Shehavir Yoim Rishon Shel Pesach B'Tainis. Vayavor means that he spent the first day of Pesach while in fasting, which is of course a very extreme situation. Pesach being a day where you are obligated to eat. It's Yom Tov, but nevertheless he fasted on the first day of Pesach. Ushmul Omar de Ovar Arkuma de Maya, that in order to gather the Jews, which was what Esther had requested, she said, "Gather all the Jews for me, and pray for me." So he went to do so. He crossed through a pool of water. Vayehi bayom hashlishi vatilbash Esther malchus. Well, the Gemara asks, "Big day malchus mi boyale?" it should say that she cloaked herself with royal clothing. What does it mean? She wore royalty. She wore malchus. And we saw this drasha quoted before in the attempt to demonstrate that Esther was a prophetess. So Omar Rebbe Elazar, and here we have a new marking on the side under the Mivneh heading. Rebbe Elazar is featured in this trapezoid shape. Memros Shel Rebbe Elazar B'Shem Rabbi Chanina. There is a series of comments that are made by Rebbe Elazar in the name of Rabbi Chanina. So Rebbe Elazar says, in the name of Rabbi Chanina Malame, this pasuk teaches us Shelav Shasa Ruach HaKodesh. She was cloaked in divine spirit. Ksiv hachav atilbash, uksiv hasav ruach lavsha es amosai. That posuk is with amosai, he was cloaked, he was overcome with divine inspiration. So too, vatilbash in the context of Esther is a reference to divine inspiration, and not a reference to simple royal clothing. V'yomer abelazar amar b'chanina, Li'olam alti birchas hedyot kala be'inecha. It should never be that the blessing a commoner gives you should be a light matter in your eyes. Simply put, anybody who gives one a blessing, the blessing should be taken with seriousness. Sheharei shnei gedolei hador birchum shnei hedyotis. There were two leading figures, we'll see in the Gemara, David and Daniel, two great figures of our people, who were blessed by hedyotos, by common people. Now, when we say common, we're speaking relative to very lofty, righteous individuals. Anyone else would be called a hedyot, a commoner. And v'niskaima, and their brachos were fulfilled. And by the way, you can see we did a slash underlining under Alti Birchas Hedyot Kalvanach. If you skip down a couple lines, you'll see an opposite statement or concerning an opposite matter, the same is true. There we see the same names quoted, and he says Alti Kilas Hedyot Kalvanach. The curse of a commoner should not be light in your eyes either. So where do we see bracha being of significance, even if it comes from someone who is common? So, as we said, there were two Gedolei Hador that were blessed by Shnei Hedyotis, and they were fulfilled. The Elohim, the two Gedolei Hador, the two leading figures, were David and Daniel. David, the Birchei Aravna, David was blessed by a person whose name was Aravna, was a very likely a Gentile, Jebusite, a Yevusi, who actually owned the land that he sold to David HaMelech, upon which eventually the Beis HaMikdash was built. So Aravna said to David, Dichtiv, Vayomer Avna El HaMelech V'chulei, and the Bach adds a couple words, Hashem Elokecha Yirtzecha. See, the Almighty shall find you favorable. And in fact, that's what it was. And Doniel, the Birche, Daryovish. Doniel was blessed by the Gentile monarch, Daryovish. Dichtiv Elokecha, the Ant Plachle, Betidira, Hu Yeshez Vinoch. The Almighty that you pray to regularly, he shall save you. And that is, in fact, what happened. So it's the blessing of these individuals that David and Doniel should certainly have valued. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Al Tekilas Hedyot Kala Beinecha. Don't allow the curse of a Hedyot to be light in your eyes. Shari Avimelech Kileil Esora. The Avimelech, he was the king of the Plishtim in Sora's time, and he had taken Sora with the intent of conducting intimacy with her. And the Almighty appeared and stopped that from happening. And Avimelech then gives presents to Avram and Sarah. And in the course of that interchange, he says, Hine hu loch ksus einayim. Now, literally, we would translate this as, this will be unto you as a covering of the eyes. As far as what that means in the context of the pasuk, take a look in the commentaries on it. But we want to focus on those words, ksuseinayim, something to do with the covering of the eyes, v'niskayim bezara, the idea of eyes being covered, of losing eyesight, if you will, was something that actually was fulfilled, took place in her offspring, in Yitzchok. Vayhi, the pasuk says, vayhi kizkan Yitzchok, vatichenu einov, and his eyes became weak, unable to see. So that from the words, from the mouth of Avimelech, there came forth a fruition or a fulfillment of what he said. The Amar Rebbe Lozer, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Bo Ure'e Shelo Kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Basar V'Dam. The ways of the Almighty are not like the ways of man. Midas Basar V'Dam, a person, Adam shoface kedero v'achakach nosein l'socha mayim. A person places down a pot. Generally speaking, the word shoface means to place a pot on the fire. But if a person first places down the pot and then fills it up with water, if he wants to boil up water, first you put the pot down. The vessel to receive the item is placed first, and then the material, the liquid, the water in this case, is then filled into it. Aval hakodesh baruch hu nosein mayim v'achakach shoface hakedero. We find by the Almighty that he first places the water and then after that accounts for the vessel to hold it. L'kayim ha-shenemar, in fulfilling what the pasuk says, l'kol sitoi hamon mayim bashamayim. The idea here being he first places the water and then that which will hold it. The Omar Rebbe Lozer, Omar Rabbi Chanina, Kol Ha'omer Dovor B'Shem Omro Mevigulo Le'olam. One who says over information that he heard from someone else in that party's name, he brings redemption to the world. Shenemar V'Tomer Esther Lamelech B'Shem Mordechai. This goes back to Perek Beis, Pasuk Chof Beis. Esther had told the king that Mordechai she told the king that she heard from Mordechai about the scheme of Bigson and Seresh to poison him, to poison Ahasuerus. So when Esther told over the scheme to Ahasuerus, she said she heard this through Mordechai, and of course from that we'll call it the miracle of Purim unraveled, or set in from that point. The Omar Rebbe Lozer, Omar Rebbe Chanina, Tzadik Ovad Ledoro Ovad. If a Tzadik dies, so it's a loss not to the Tzadik, it's a loss to the generation. Moshol Li'odom She'ovdo Loi Margulis. This is analogous to a person that lost a margulis. It's a precious item, whether it's a gem or it's a pearl, whatever the case is, it's a precious item. Komokom shihi margulis shema, wherever it is, it's still what it is. Lo ovda elo labaila, it's lost only to the owner. The owner of it doesn't have it, but wherever it is, it is. Likewise, with regard to the tzaddik dies, he receives his appropriate portion in the world to come. Yeah, he's fine, but the generation in which the tzaddik was, they are at a loss. In other sources, we know that the plenty that the Kodesh Baruch Hu brings to the world is in the merit of the tzaddik. We have seen those who have learned Maseches Tainis might recall, regarding the pious Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, the Gemara says that Kol ha'olam nizon b'shvil Chanina ben Dosa, v'Chanina b'ni died lo b'kav charuvim erev Shabbos l'erev Shabbos. The world was sustained in the merit of that man, and that man himself, he lived on very little. So when a tzaddik dies, the ones who really lose are the generation, not the tzaddik himself. This pasuk was said by Haman when he saw Mordechai not yielding to him, not bowing to him. V'chol zeh einenu shoveh li. Omar Rabbi Elazar, Omar Rabbi Hanina, Bishal Shiro Haman as Mordechai Yoshe Bishar Melech, when Haman saw Mordechai sitting at the palace gate, Omar Kolze Eino Shaveli, that even though Haman himself had risen to lofty powers and riches, he says, it's all not worth it to me. So now, the few words are added in the Bach text. So if you look in the Bach text on the side of the Gemara, we've underlined the relevant portion. V'chi mishum d'roya Mordechai yoshe b'shar melech Omar kolze inenu shaveli. Just because he saw Mordechai sitting at the king's gate, he says everything that he has received, that Haman has received, is not worth it to me. Elo kidarav chista. We continue now in the Gemara text. Rather, it's as Rav Chista teaches. The Yomar of Chista, ze bo bepruzbuli, vze bo bepruzbuti. And the Gemara will explain what this is. It's when Mordechai and Haman had confronted each other. You will see very shortly that Mordechai was making a claim against Haman. So that when Haman says that everything I have isn't worth anything to me, he was actually saying something quite honest. Mordechai came, bepruzbuli means he came with the claims of a rich man. Buli is a reference to a reference to wealth, to osher, and Haman, that bo, Haman came, bepruzbuti, and then the if we look in the Rashi at the bottom of Omer Aleph, toward the bottom, v'zeh bo b'buzbuli, Mordechai bo elov b'tainis osher, Haman bo b'tainis oni. Haman's claim was that of a poor man. Shemochar Haman es atzmo l'Mordechai koidim l'chein yomim rabim b'kikrei lechem. Haman, in desperation, had sold himself to Mordechai many years before. So the Gemara at the top of Amud Beis continues, Omar Rav Papa, and by the way, take note of the fact that Rashi occupies both columns of commentary, and buti, that we see here, is the word buti, is an expression indicating poverty. Omar Rav Papa, v'korule avdo demizdabein betalmidinamo. Haman was referred to as the slave who sold himself in exchange for loaves of bread. As far as the story is concerned, what actually happened, this will be dealt with, this will be alluded to later in the Gemara. But for our purposes, it's simply important to understand that Mordechai had a claim against Haman, and as a result of the claim, namely that Haman had sold himself to Mordechai, anything that Haman owned in actuality belonged to Mordechai. Since we've been engaged in drushas of Rabbi Elazar in the name of Rabbi Chanino, here we have another drusha. This is actually a rather long point, and you can see using the long point marking, it takes you down till almost halfway down the page, at which point after this drusha, we will go back to darshaning psukim from the Megillah. So here, on the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading, and we've written, Vikuach bein HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas hadin, a confrontation between the Almighty and the midas hadin is the element of judgment, the call, the force of judgment, in the future, im losei schar le tzadikim o shegam hein to'u b'yayin u b'shechor. Do the righteous deserve reward, or are they also considered those that have stumbled in wine and intoxication through other drinking? The Omar Rav Elazar, Omar Rabbi Chanina, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lios Atorah V'Rosh Kol Tzadik V'Tzadik. In the future, the Almighty will be like a crown on the head of each righteous person. Shenemar Vayoimahu Ye Hashem Tzvokis Lateres Tzvi Litzviras Tiferes. And we should note that in the margin of our Gemara, we've included the psukim that will be referred to in the Gemara. We've underlined the words of the psukim that will be referred to. But if you want to see the psukim in their entirety, so on the side, Yeshaya Perachov Ches, let's read the psukim first just to get a taste of it. Bayomahu Ye Hashem Tzvokis Lateres Tzvi Utsviras Tifora. L'sha'ar amoi, ul'ruach mishpat, la'yoshev al ha'mishpat, l'gvura m'shivim m'choma shara, v'gam eile b'yayin shogu v'shechor tov, kohen v'novi shogu b'shechor, nivle'u min ha'shechor, shogu boroe poku plilia. And as we said, this will be now darshan by the Gemara. The Pasuk had said that in the future, the Almighty will be an ateres tzvi, My lateris tzvi ulitzviras tiferes. What does that mean, that he will be a crown of glory? And so the Gemara explains, la'oisin tzivyoinoi ulemitzapim tifarto. So in the Pasuk, we saw a teres, that's a crown. Tzvi is those that do his will. Tzivyono, his will. And the tzviras tifarto is Tzefi, Tzfiras, is those who look forward to his glory. Yochol Lakol, does that mean that everyone will be recipients of this? Tamalomar L'Sha'ar Amo. The Gemara darshins that, again, this is a quote from the Pasuk. So if you have one finger on the Pasuk, you notice this is from the end of Pasuk He of Yeshaya Chavches. What does L'Sha'ar Amo mean? L'mi Shemesim Atzmo Kishirayim. One who makes himself like a leftover. In other words, humble, one who humbles himself. Ularuach mishpat ze hadon es yitzro. This who will benefit by this crown that the Almighty will provide? Someone who is dan es yitzro. That means who overpowers his inclination to and thereby does penitence after sinning. Yoshev al ha'mishpat ze hadon din emes lamito. That's a reference to someone that judges cases in a totally honest fashion. Ulegvura ze ha'misgaber al yitro. This is someone who overcomes his evil inclination even before transgressing something. He overpowers it in instead of yielding to it. Meshive Mechoma Elu Shenoisim Venoisnin Bemilchamta Shel Torah. That's a reference to those who are engaged in the study, in the battle of Torah. Sha'ara Elu Tamidi Chachomim Shemashkimen Umariven Bebote Knesius Bebote Midrashos. The reference to gates, it's a reference to the gates of the Torah centers that get up early and stay late in shuls and Bote Medrash. Omro midas hadin lifnei hakodesh baruch hu. Ribonu shalolam ma nishtanu elu mi elu. The midas hadin, the attribute of judgment, speaks up and addresses the Almighty and says, "What is the difference between these and those?" Meaning, you want to give these people that we just enumerated a crown of glory. What's the difference between them and everyone else? Omar lo hakodesh baruch hu. Yisrael osku b'torah umosolam lo osku b'torah. First of all, the Jewish people have engaged in the study of Torah. Nations of the world haven't engaged in the study of Torah. So if you're asking me, what's the difference between these and everybody else? Well, that's the answer. Omar Lei, so the Midas Adin says back, Gam Eile B'yayin Shogu U'B'Shechor To Poku Pliliya. That expression you can see in the psukim that we read. So, the Gemara points out, "Ein poku elo gehenim." Poku in this pasuk means purgatory. Shenema velotia zos l'cha l'fuka. This is a pasuk that we saw quoted in an earlier Gemara, where Avigail had said to David, "Don't allow this to be a stumbling, a source of sin, which leads to, of course, retribution in purgatory." Vein pliliya ela dayanim. In this pasuk, we saw poku pliliya. That's a reference to judgment, people that would be judged to purgatory. Shenemar v'nosan b'flilim. This pasuk quoted from Shmos is a reference to judgment. So that what we see in this this give and take between the Almighty and the Midas Hadin, the Almighty is claiming that the Jewish people are different in so far as they engaged in the study of Torah, and the Midas Hadin responds and says, no, they also failed in their yielding to wine and temptation and drunkenness. The pasuk that's now darshan, we go back to the Megillah pasukim. You can see Perek Hey Pasuk Aleph, Vata'amoid b'chotzer beis hamelech hapnimis. We're describing Esther on while entering the king's chamber, as we saw earlier, that she was summoned by Mordechai to work an appeal on behalf of the Jewish people, and that involves her dangerous mission of approaching the king unsummoned in order to achieve those ends. Omar Rabbi Levi, the pasuk says, "Vatamod b'chatzer beis hamelech hapnimis." Omar Rabbi Levi, "Kevan shigia lebeis hatzlomim." On her entrance into the inner chamber, she reached the beis hatzlomim. That's the store area, the room of idols. Might have been a type of idolatrous chapel in the king's palace. So when she reached that place, nistalko heimeno shchina, the divine inspiration departed from her. She lost we'll call her prophetic powers. Omra, and at that point she then appeals to the Almighty, and we have a paragraph or a chapter in the book of Psalms, the Sefer Tehillim, Perichov Beis, that is ascribed to Esther. And she says, Keli, Keli, Lama Zavtoni, and she appeals to the Almighty, "Why have you abandoned me? Shema atodon al shogei kemezid val oines karotzon." Have you equated that which is a mistake with that which is intentional? Have you equated that which is out of your power to that which you do in out of will? And she's trying to say, even though I'm coming to him for out of my own volition, but nevertheless, you realize that I'm coming to the king because of extenuating extraordinary circumstances, the threat of the annihilation of the Jewish people. And therefore, don't look at me as if I'm going into the king for purposeful, willing intimacy. Oh, Shemo al Shikorosiv Kelev Shinamar, maybe you have departed from me because I referred to the king as a dog, which is, and we quote a pasuk from the same chapter of Tehillim, which is ascribed to Esther, which says, "Hitzila hatzila micherev nafshi miad kelev yichidasi." Now, you might think, so what's so bad if she calls him a dog? So, calls him, meaning the Achashverosh. So, it appears to me that there's a concept. In fact, there's a bracha that one recites over seeing a Gentile king. When one sees power and glory that's bestowed upon a person, that power, that glory, comes from a lofty source. It comes from the Almighty Himself, that He's granted power and glory to those who receive it. So it's an insult to refer to a king, even if he's an evil king, but he does command power and glory in the eyes of everyone around him. So it's a mistake to call him a dog. And therefore, she's assuming that maybe she's lost her divine powers because she insulted the king by referring to him as a dog. So Chosra v'Karoso Aryeh, she, in the same paragraph, she then refers to him as a lion, an animal of pride. Shenema Hoshieni mipi Aryeh, save me from the lion. The pasuk continues in the in Megillas Esther, Perek Hey pasuk Beis, Vayhi Kirois HaMelech Es Esther Hamalka, Nasa Chein Be'enov. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Shloisha Malachi Ashoris Nizdamnu Lo Be'isashah. At that moment, when she comes into eyesight with of the king, three angels appeared at that moment, arrived there at that moment. Ach echod, one angel shigbia es tzavora, that one raised her neck. The echod shemoshach chud shel chesed olah, the other one drew a thread of grace over her, made her. Made her charming. The echod shemosach es hasharvit, and the third angel extended the king's scepter, and the scepter was the means of the king pointing to he or she who entered to in fact to draw unto him. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, an osay, ribui deos, a number of opinions. Al kama uirech nimtach hasharvit shel Achashverosh b'shas knisas Esther. How elongated did that scepter become? We're going to see some numbers here that are quite fantastic, if you will. And in as is the case in many Gemaras, these are hidden messages to something else other than a physical elongation of the scepter, even if there was an element of miracle that took place. So the Gemara is asking, how long did it become elongated? Omar Rabbi Yirmiyo, Shtei Amos. It became the length of two Amos. Correct ourselves. Shtei Amos Hoyo Vehemido Al Shtei Mesrei. The scepter originally was two Amos, approximately a meter in length, and the angel elongated it to 12. V'amrilo al sheshesrei, v'amrilo al esrim v'arba. Some say not 12, but 16, and some say 24 amos. An amo is approximately half a meter, so if you say 24 amos, that would give you a feeling of approximately 12 meters, a very long scepter, if you will. B'masnisa tana, in a Tanaic source, we're taught something else. Al shishim, 60 amos. If you skip this, the bracketed section, you can see we have two lines in brackets. So you see then Rabo Bar Ofron, he's another opinion on this, and he says, Mishum Rebbe Elazar she Shoma Me Rabo, Verabo Me Rabo, who had it on a tradition that it Mosayim, 200 Amos. Now, we did skip a section in that we have in brackets, so let's go over that now. V'chein ato moitze ba'moso shel bas paro. V'chein ato moitze b'shine rishoyim. You find this miraculous elongation in the case of the arm of the daughter of Paro as she reached out to retrieve the basket in which the infant Moshe Rabbeinu as an infant was lying in the water. So her arm became lengthened, and you find likewise the teeth of the wicked. In this case, a reference to Og Melech HaBoshan, Og, the king of Boshan, a nation that the Jews warred against prior to their entrance to the land of Israel. And this idea of the teeth being lengthened is Dichtiv Shinei Rishoim Shibarta. You'll notice the Yud of the word shine, and the word yud mem suffix of rishoyim has the numeral equivalent of 60. Hence, we came to the 60 amma figure. The omar reish lokish al tikri shibarta. Don't read the posuk as the teeth of the wicked you broke. Elo sheri bavta, that you lengthened. And there's a story, called an agadic tradition that accompanies this issue of the king of Og Melech Boshan's teeth becoming lengthened. Rashi quotes this tradition, and you can see in the Rashi, he says, "V'shinei Rishoyim Og Melech Boshan Maseches Brachos Perek Haroya Sheokar Har Bas Sholish Parsi." This king was of massive proportions. He ripped up a mountain three parsa in size, lashlicho al Yisrael, to throw it upon the camp of the Jews, which measured the same amount. V'nosno al rosho, he raised the mountain over his head. V'sholach HaKadosh Baruch Hu nemolim, the Almighty sent some ants. V'nokvu, and they caused it to, they ate out a hole in the middle of this mountain. V'nichnas b'tzavaro, and the mountain slipped over his neck. U'bikesh l'shamto, he wanted to take the mountain off of his head. V'nishtarbavu, shinov l'kan l'kan, and his teeth elongated like we'll say, like tusks. Lateral shaped tusks running each from one side of his mouth into the mountain, making it impossible for him to take it off. And then he eventually suffered his end. We continue in the Gemara after the brackets that we had already read, that Rabo Bar Ofron, Omar Mishum Rabo Lozer Mishoshoshoma, Mirabo, Rabo Mirabo. Rabbo quotes, says in the name of Rabbi Elazar that had heard it from his rabbis, and they in turn heard it from their predecessors, Mosayim, 200 Amos. That's the length that the scepter of Achashverosh had reached. Vayomer lo hamelech, ma loch Esther hamalko, uma bakoshosech, Ad chatzi hamalchus v'teos. So he asks Esther, what is it that you want? I will give you up to half of the kingdom, if so be. Chatzi hamalchus v'lo kol hamalchus. When he says ad chatzi hamalchus, he's saying I'll give you chatzi, but not everything. Now, what does chatzi really mean? It says v'lo dover shechotzeitz l'malchus. Nor am I going to give you, I'm not going to give you the whole kingdom, nor am I going to give you something that is in the middle of the kingdom. Umayni, what is that chotzeitz lamalchus a reference to? Umayni, what is that? Binyan beis hamikdash. Rashi says, v'lodovar shechotzeitz malchus binyan habayis, shu be'emtza shel oylam, the beis hamikdash, which was located, of course, in Jerusalem. This was the middle of the world. Kamrina Beseder Yuma, Evan Shesia, the Shesia Rock, which is located in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the Holy of Holies, the place that the Holy Ark that contained the Ten Commandments was located, was on this Evan Shesia. Shemimeno, why is it called Evan Shesia? Shemimeno Nishte Solem. From it was the foundation of the world. So Achashverosh is saying that I'll give you an awful lot, but I'm not going to give you the whole kingdom, nor am I going to give you the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, historically, we might as well point out that prior to Achashverosh, upon the defeat of the Babylonian Empire, the Persians, when coming into power, they had given license for the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the Beis HaMikdash. However, the locals in Israel of the time had written letters to the Persian monarch saying that the Jews are scheming against you, and they arouse the suspicion of the Persians, who halted the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And that period extended through the reign of Achashverosh. So when he says here, I'm not going to give you the Dover HaChotzes Malachos, meaning the Binyan HaBayis, I'm not going to give you the right to continue the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Of course, that lasted throughout the realm of Achashverosh, and after his when his successor rose to power, so in fact the Jews were allowed to continue the building thereof. Yovo Hamelech v'Homon el Hamishte. So Esther is inviting the king and Homon to a ball, to a party, a feast that she wants to make. Now, at this point in the Gemara, you're going to see quite an extensive list of names. We're going to be listing up to 11 names, and on the side of the Gemara under the Nosei, the topic heading, Ribui Deois, numerous opinions, Alma Rosa Esther Lahazmin is Homa Lemishteb. What did Esther see so as to motivate her to invite Homan to this feast? So we read the Pasuk where she says, I want the king and Homan to come to the party.
Tanu Rabbanan. Ma Rasa Esther Shizimno Es Haman. What did Esther see that caused her to invite Haman? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Pachim Tomna Lo. She was planting a trap for him. Shnemar, Yehi Shulchanam Lifneim Lepach. Shulchanam, let their tables, in a feast in this context, let the feast be for them as a trap. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Mi Beis Abba Lomda. She learned from her father's house, in other words, from her predecessors. Shenemar, Im Ro'ev Sonacho Achileu Lechem. If your enemy is hungry, feed him bread. Haman, of course, being the enemy, and that's the way you deal with your enemies. There's a certain method, a certain approach, and that's what she was following in inviting him. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kedei Shelo Itol Eitza V'Yimroid. She wanted him there so that he doesn't continue scheming and end up rebelling against the king, end up pushing aside Achashverosh. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kedei Shelo Yakiru Bo Shehi Yehudis. Her intent was to further cover up her identity, so that here you have the enemy of the Jews, Haman, being invited by Esther to a feast, so she would not be recognized as a Jewess. Rabbi Nechemia Omer Kedei Shelo Yomru Yisrael Achos Yesh Lanu Beveis Hamelach V'Yasichu Daiton Min Harachamim. Rabbi Nechemia works with the with the assumption that there were those that knew she was Jewish. Certainly her friends and relatives would have known her identity, and maybe the Jewish community knew her identity, and Rabbi Nechemia is saying, he's appealing to them and saying that Esther's calculation was that her co-patriots, the Jewish people, shouldn't get comfortable thinking that they have their person, the queen, is right there in the Beis HaMelech, in the royal palace, and she will save us. Because what happens, and this is something that we are all too familiar with to this very day, is that when Jews have their own in high governmental positions, people think that the salvation of the Jewish people will come through them and not concentrate on the Almighty and He being the only real source of salvation. So that is, Esther, aware of this phenomenon, invited the enemy so the Jews wouldn't think that she's an ally, and therefore they will turn only to the Almighty for their salvation. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kedei She Motsui Lo Bechol Eis. She wanted Haman near her at all times. Maybe she will be able to cause him to stumble, to make a fool of himself, or whatever in that vein, in front of the king. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya Omer, Ulai Yargish Hamokoim Viase Lonu Neis. Here she was acting in such a way that maybe this would arouse mercy on the part of the Almighty, where He sees that she is drawing, she's endearing herself to the enemies of Israel. Or another approach that Rashi suggests is that if the Almighty sees that she has to cater, she has to be to flatter this wicked man, and to in effect dishonor herself through that, maybe that will arouse the Almighty to intervene and cause a miracle. Rabbi Shimon Korcha Omer Asbir Loi Ponem Kidei Sheyaharog Hu Vehi. Rashi says on the third line from the top, again, Rashi is in both columns, so he says on the left-hand column, third line, Shiarog Huvahi, Shiachsteni Hamelech Mimenu, that the king should suspect that I have something going on intimately with Haman, and that'll arouse the king's suspicion and jealousy, v'arog es shneinu, and he'll end up killing both of us. But she was willing to go that far in order to have Haman removed. Rabbi Gamliel, we continue in the Gemara, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Melech hafach v'chon hoya. Rashi, on this, Melech hafach v'chon hoya, v'chozer b'diburo, he is an indecisive king. He might say one thing one day and something else another day. Omer shema ucha lefatoiso lehorgoi, v'mlo yehe mezumon ta'avor hashaw v'yachzer bo. She's saying that maybe she can somehow entrap him and cause his death, and if he's not around, so the opportunity might pass. The Gemara continues, Omar Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel, who was one of the explainers, he says, Adayin Srifan Amul Modoi. We still need the opinion of Rabbi Elazar HaModoi, the son of Rabbi Elazar HaModoi Omer, Kin Osoi Bamelech, Kin Osoi Besorem. In her highlighting Haman as we'll describe him as her guest of honor, that will arouse the jealousy of the king against him and the jealousy of other ministers against him. She was trying to, of course, raise all opposition to Haman as was possible. Rabo Omar. Now here you notice that we have a number 10. We put the 10 and shortly 11 in parentheses. Up till now, we've seen Tanaic opinions, and now Amoraic opinions. Rab Omar, Lefnei Shever Ga'oin. The inviting of Haman to this royal feast was a fulfillment of the teaching in the Pasuk that says, before the smashing, one reaches heights. Something that one should take note of throughout Jewish history, that there have been many enemies of the Jews, many scheming empires and what have you, and you'll notice that these empires rise to positions of world domination, and only then they're smashed and they fall and dissolve into nothingness. That's Lifnei Shever Gaon. Before the smashing is the great heights. Abaye v'rovo d'amri travayu b'chumam oshis es mishtehem v'chulei. Yeah, we look at Rashi, b'chumam oshis es mishtehem, al belshatzar misiato ne'amar, regarding Belshatzar, who was the Babylonian ruler, and his group, it says, b'shuva min ha'mechoma, sh'dayov sh'kosh ho'yutzorin al bovel, v'nitzchon Belshatzar. There was a war between the Persian government and the Babylonians, where Daryovish and Koresh, who were Persian leaders, were laying siege on Bavel, Vinitzchon Belshatzar, and Belshatzar defeated them. Oysayom, on that day, v'hoyu ayefim v'chamim, they were tired and heated. V'yoshu lishtois, and the Belshatzar and his men sat down in fatigue to drink. Nishtakru, they became intoxicated. Bosayom Naragan, on that day they were killed. V'af Esther Omra mitoch mishteim shel rishayim bo lohem puranis. When the wicked drink, it's through that their punishment comes. So that's what this pasuk in Yirmiyahu said. Bechumam, in their heat, as they were heated and fatigued. Oshises mishteim, I will place their drink. And as we saw, that's a reference to their her hope for their destruction. Ashkechei rabo baravua l'elio. Omalei keman chazia Esther of the Hochi. So rabo asks l'elio, we have a lot of opinions as to why Esther invited Haman. Well, which is the right answer? According to whom of these? Which one of these answers did Esther in fact invite him? Amalei Elio answers, Kikulhu Tanoi Ukikulhu Amoroi. According to all of these explanations, in other words, Esther had many different calculations in mind when she invited him. Pasuk Yud Aleph of Perek Hay of the Megillah Esther, Vayesaper Lohem Haman Es Kavoid Oshro V'Roiv Bonov. Haman was elated in his being invited to this royal feast, and he comes and tells about his great wealth and Rov Bonov. The Kama Rov Bonov, he says he has many sons. What does he mean by that? Omarav Shloshim, 30 sons. Now we'll see some other opinions on this matter as we go on in the Gemara, but this is the first. He says 30. Asara Mesu, eventually 10 of them died. Asara Nitlu, 10 were hung. The Asara Mechazrin al Apsochim, and 10 others became indigent and having to beg at people's doors. The Rabbanon Amri, Oison Shemechazrin al Apsochim, Shivim Havio. Those that became indigent were 70 in number. Tehtiv. Now, the following pasuk is in Sefer Shmuel, but the Targum Yoinason explains the pasuk as referring to the sons of Haman. It says, Sveim belech belechem niskoru. Al tikri sveim. Sveim means those that are satisfied, but rather elo shivim. Shivim meaning 70. Those 70, needed to, beg for their bread. The Rami Bar Abba Omar Kulon Mosayim Ushmona Havu. The total number of his sons were 208. Shinemar Veroiv Bonov. Verov Begematria Moson let's go over that again. He says there were 208 because the Gematria, the numerical value of Verov, is 208. The Gemara asks, is that accurate? Verov Begematria Moson Varbesa Havu. The numerical value of that word, Verov, is actually 214. If you break the word down into its letters, so the Vov is 6, the Resh is 100, that's 206, then another Vov is another 6, so it's 212, and the Beis is for a total of 214. So how come you're saying that the numerical value was 208? Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Verov Ksiv. The word is spelled in the Megillus Esther without the middle vav. So 214 minus 6 is 208. Balailahu Nododo Shnas Hamelech. Omar Rabbi Tandel. The posuk says on that night the king had insomnia. In other words, he couldn't fall asleep. Omar Rabbi Tandel. Nodado Shnas Malchoy Shalom. The word Hamelech, the king, is a reference to the Almighty. In other words, to put it in human terms, the Almighty was at ease. In other words, up till that point, it seemed that the wicked were gaining the upper hand, and that the Almighty Chalila was asleep, and now he is becoming aroused. For Rabbanan Amri, Nodadu El Yoinim, Nodadu Tachtoinim. Rashi says, Nodadu el yoinim shahoyu malochim mavhilim oisoi kol halaylo vi omrulo kofui toivo. The angels who were from the upper area from the heavens were arousing the king and saying, you are a denier of the good, of the favors done to you. Shalem toivo lemisha asa, pay the one who did you a good turn. And this posuk, we maybe should have mentioned, not make the assumption, but this is a posuk that in which we see Ahasuerus being very troubled, and as a result of this particular incident of his being seized by insomnia, he eventually recounts the fact that Mordechai, who had saved him, was not duly rewarded. And we have the entire story with Mordechai being paraded around on a horse with royal garb as a result of this incident. So the angels were bothering Ahasuerus, not allowing him to fall asleep, communicating this message that, you know, you had a favor done to you, your life was saved, and you didn't repay the one who did so. Rava Omar, Shnas Hamelech Ahasuerus Mamish. The posuk says, Nodah Shnas Hamelech, it means the king, simply referring to the king Ahasuerus himself. Noflo le milso bedaite. Something had occurred to him. Something entered his mind. Omramai de kamon de zaminte Esther lahoman. What is this? He became struck by curiosity and concern, more than just curiosity, concern that what is it that caused Esther to invite Haman to the feast? Dilmo, Eitzoko, Shakli, Iluyo, Dahu, Gavro, Lemiktele. Maybe there's a scheme, a plan to have, and he says, Hahu Gavro means it's a euphemism on him, but it's a reference to himself, that they're scheming to kill me. Hoda Omar, Ihochi, Lohave Gavro, Dorochim Li, Dahave Modali. Well, if that was the scheme, then there certainly wouldn't be someone that is fond of me that would tell me. So that's not what. So I don't really have to fear that, because if there was really a scheme, someone would tell me about that. Hodar Omar. Then he said, Dilmo iko inish da'ovad bi tivusa v'lo parate mishum hochi mimnei inshi v'lo magluli. On the other hand, maybe even though I might have friends, I received a favor from someone, and I didn't pay them back. And therefore my friends aren't so quick to reveal to me schemes against me, because they figure, well, why should they do me a favor when I'm not someone that pays back favors? And as a result of that, they are withholding and not revealing to me the scheme. So with this in mind, he says, oh, it's maybe so the fault lies in me, that even if they're scheming against me, my problem is that I don't repay people that did me favors. Miyad, he then immediately, Vayomer Lohovi es Sefer Azichronos Divrei Hayomim V'yu Nikraim. Bring, he orders for the Sefer Azichronos, the royal book of chronicles, of events, of things that happened, things that transpired, should be brought, and v'yu nikroim, melamed shenikroim aleihem. This tells us that miraculously whatever was recorded in this Sefer HaZichronos, this book of chronicles, would ended up being read on their own. So that instead of his reading it, it's as if there was some type of reading on its own, a recorded voice came forth, if you will. Vayimotsei Kosuv. Now here, as far as grammar is concerned, the word kosuv is not the most common use of that form of speech that one would expect. Kosav miboil, it should say vayimosei kosav. It was found written in the past. Kosuv is a word meaning right now, something is being recorded currently. So how can that be? What does that mean, that he found something that's currently being recorded? Melamed, and we continue at the top of Daf Tezayin. This teaches us She Shimshi Moichek the Gavriel Koisev. There was a fellow there who was a king's scribe. He was a Jew hater, and he was erasing the information that Mordechai had informed the king of the scheme of Bigson and Seresh. So you have here Shimshi erasing Mordechai as the source of the king's salvation, and the king, the angel, the archangel Gavriel, he rewrote that. In other words, as Shimshi tried to erase, Gavriel wrote it. And that's why the current form of speech, Kosuv, as opposed to Kosav. Omar Rebbe Asi, Dorash Rav Shilo Ish Kfar Tamlasa, Rav Shilo held forth, taught the following, Ma Ksav Shelamato, Shelezechusan Shisrael Eino Nimchak. Mind you, something in this world that is favorable to the Jewish people is not erasable. Ksav Shelamalo Lo Kol Shekein, that which is recorded in heavens in favor of the Jews, all the more so, it is not erased. Well, as the Gemara goes on, so the Gemara is preoccupied with what transpired after Achashverosh discovers the favor done to him by Mordechai, and Mirtzah Hashem in our next year will go through that drasha, the psukim that deal with that. But before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, especially in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.